The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, local for 40 years.
This is the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast, and it's the preliminary final edition of this podcast. I didn't think I'd be uttering those words, Kingy, but the cats are in, and I'm tipping if you were a punter and you had have taken a first four of your preliminary final teams to be Geelong, Brisbane, Collingwood and Sydney, you could safely take the year off work.
I mean, you could probably retire,
Ben. Yeah, I would have thought it would have paid humongous sort of odds.
To gamble responsibly.
Yeah, no, but then and the more you bet, the more you win.
So out of that four, who do you think was most likely to be in the top four? Brisbane?
Yeah.
And then Sydney?
No.
Didn't okay. So no, based I didn't on have Sydney. So Sydney last year, remember, only lost an elimination final by a poofteenth.
How much is that?
No, not much.
Is that an official measurement?
It is. It's neither metric or imperial.
I'm not sure it's politically correct.
No, you can still use
Someone
it.
Someone will get offended.
Oh, probably.
You can offend anyone these days.
You can offend anybody.
Just doing anything.
Yep. Yes, correct.
No, but I didn't. Well, so you had Sydney in there.
I can't remember what my. Probably our crystal ball comes out next Saturday, grand final day.
The old crystal
ones.
Balls.
The crystal ones, yeah.
Yes.
They're the only ones you bring out when you have the guests around the crystal ones.
Well, it depends. Depends what sort of setup you've got.
So I would have had them ahead of Geelong.
Yeah, I had Geelong, I think from memory, Kingy, before the crystal balls get out, I think I had Geelong seventh. So
we both had them in an elimination final.
Yeah, I don't think I did in the eight.
Really?
I don't think so. I can't remember. But
no,
I think so.
I think I had them maybe above Geelong, definitely Brisbane.
I sort of probably had both sides somewhere between 6 and 10.
Yep.
That's where I thought they'd finish.
Yep.
And so I didn't think they'd be preliminary finalists, and I didn't think Sydney said they would be hosting a prelim, and I didn't think Geelong would win 14 on the dangle and be two games clear at the end of the home and away.
No.
And then
I don't think even the most optimistic of Geelong supporter thought that.
No. And it's turned out that way, and we were just talking before we started the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack podcast that the pressure is all now on Geelong.
Yep.
They are expected to win. There isn't a fan out there who hopes they win. They expect them to win. They've got, I mean, you know, no excuses really. They've got a fit list. They have got some new pieces. They've got players. Well, they were in form. They had a couple who I thought played some nervous footy, Kingy. So I hope that nervous final is the qualifying final, not the prelim. Even though we hear players talk about the prelim being harder to win, because you're always projecting ahead. Oh, we're only one game from the grand final, and we saw in 2007 that was the case with the Cats against Collingwood. I mean, Collingwood, you know, Geelong went into that game as red hot favourites and it fell over the line in the end, very similar to what they did against the Pies in the qualifying final a couple of weeks ago. So I just hope that the nervousness is out, because I really thought some key players like Blitzarv's Tui. Tui's good late, but very nowhere to be seen early. Stanley has to, he just can't produce a stinker.
Stengel
like that
had
again.
A quiet one.
Stengel had a quiet one. So I just hope that nervousness is out. I was a little surprised, Kingy, that I heard Zach Tui say that the group's nervous. I would have thought they're confident. They've been the best team, they don't have any obvious deficiency. And I mean, you probably say that about all the finalists, but they seem to have every base covered. You know, bar maybe some would say the ruck, given how Stanley went in the qualifying final, although he had been good back into the year. So I just thought it was a little bit, I don't know, it's having sort of followed a lot of American sport, that's not something you would ever hear.
Yeah.
And American sportsmen say, we're nervous.
But they're American sportsmen are a different breed.
Yeah, they are. But I would have thought confident. You know, we're confident, not cocky, we're confident that our best footy...
Oh, it stacks up.
Yeah, it does. And I mean, I just thought it was strange that a senior player would say, oh, the group's nervous, which is what he said pretty much.
Oh, I wasn't at... So he did some media and the media was scattered around. I didn't sit in his media conference, so I actually haven't listened
to it. Well, I heard one of the grabs on the news and he said, oh, we're basic. I don't know if he was talking about himself or the group. He said... He definitely used the word nervous.
He'd be nervous because I think he talked about... The only thing I heard him talk about was how he desperate he is to play in a premiership.
Yeah.
That's what is driving
my aura,
him. That's what you all want to be.
Imagine someone just sort of, look, you know, I don't know, I'd rather sort of finish eighth. I've always wanted to finish eighth.
Well, there's 19 of them and don't have a premiership medal. Mm. Oh, sorry, 18, because Isaac Smith does have one.
He's got seven of them.
Well, he's got three.
Yes.
Selwood has three. Hawkins has two. Duncan has one.
Yeah. Look,
and Duncan wants a real one because his was a sub one.
He still got it. He can still turn up to the gassing session, having been involved.
In 2021.
Yeah, which will be great.
No, 2031.
In years to come, that will be fantastic. Anyway, I just thought it was a little bit odd. I just hope that, because I think that's the one thing, or there's a couple of factors, but that's one of the things that can bring the Cats undone. He's playing a really nervous brand of footy. I thought they played that against Collingwood. So let's just see how the game unfolds. But, you know, Brisbane have got through two tough finals, not only physically exhausting but mentally exhausting. Well, let's not forget, they did beat Melbourne by a few goals in the end, but they were behind and probably should have been five goals down.
If Melbourne kicks straight,
they're probably 30 to 36 mm-hmm. points up at quarter time.
But
what was it, 3-6 to 1-3?
At
quarter time.
Quarter time, yeah, I think so, yeah.
So what's that, 15 points? It probably should have been 30.
Yep. Yeah, it should have been 6-3.
Yeah.
Yeah. Melbourne missed some opportunities.
And then Melbourne looked sore, tired, all of the above.
And you look that when you're getting overrun.
You do, but clearly Gawn wasn't right. He'd set himself, he started like a house on fire, 8 touches in the first quarter. Yep. He only had 7 for the rest of the game.
He had a groin issue.
Yes. So he went completely out of the game. Luke Jackson was already...
He's on the plane.
He was across the Nullarbor.
Yeah.
With hopefully his lights on, not travelling in dusk because you'll hit a kangaroo. But... He'd gone. They had players who played poorly. Look, they stunk it up in the second half, and Brisbane made the most of it. One thing I will say, Kenny, is I know all the Geelong coaches were there on Friday night watching that game. Now I'm a bit of a dumb bastard. I'm just meat and sort of potatoes. I like I'm happy to have a couple of lamb chops with
mash pud.
Yeah.
Yep.
And a big hunk of broccoli with nothing on it.
Yep.
And I'm happy with that. I don't want red wine jus on my thing. I don't want to have a menu that I can't understand what it is. Like Saganaki. Like who's eating that? Like fried cheese, please. Come on, if you were having that, you ought to be...
Some people might like it.
No, you need to be horsewhipped.
They haven't done that since the Old West.
No, but they need to bring it back for people who eat things and then tell other people what they've eaten. Or
take a photo of it.
If you take a photo of your food, please do not ever listen to this podcast because I despise you. But, so I am a meat and potatoes arrangement.
You are. Yep.
Now, I watched the game, right? We called the game. So my binoculars, I parked the peepers on Melbourne, Brisbane. Mm. Now, if you agree with me, and maybe there was other, I'm sure there was other little factors involved. But when Lachie Neal was reduced to a very sort of average player through a hard tag.
Yep.
Brisbane looked pedestrian.
Yep.
When he suddenly got on fire, well, Berry jumped on board with him, so there was another factor there, but they looked a completely different team.
Yep.
Now, Richmond allowed him to do whatever he liked the week prior.
Yep.
He had it 39 times. They looked fantastic.
Yep. Now, but they still struggled to get over Richmond, though.
Yeah, exactly right. And they were,
And he was outstanding. He couldn't have done much more.
It took the seven hands of God for the ball to end up with Danaher to kick the goal.
Yes.
So what I'm saying is... Geelong don't tag, generally. When I say tag, they don't generally just send one player to someone and they stick with them and it's a hard tag. I just pray that they have a really good plan that limits Lachie Neal, because I think that he is their heart and soul. His vision and his skill level has gone to another level. He was never the most skilled player at Freo. He was a bit of a crappy kicker to go anywhere, bit of a helicopter.
He'd just get it hack it forward.
But now his vision and his agility and his capacity to bring others into the game, particularly winning the ball around stoppages, makes them a completely different group. So I'm saying that, is it Blitzarves or is it Atkins or is it Cam Guthrie? They've got players there who can do it. But if you allow him to have free rein, he will get it 35 times on his ear.
And he'll hurt you.
He will.
Yep.
So I just hope that they've got a really good plan. And even to the point, King, I think Geelong are good enough to sacrifice one of those guys to play a role for the team, as Jimmy Bartel did, who'd come off the I think it was, did he come off the Brownlow medal?
No, it was 07 he came off. 07 was the Brownlow. You're talking about Lenny Hayes in 09?
Yeah, so he went to Lenny Hayes as a complete playmaker and did a job on him as a tagger. So I just hope that they've got a good plan for Neil, because I don't know that those other guys around him. Berry had a really good second half. His previous half was ordinary. He was only average against Richmond. Lyons was available but didn't play, so that's sort of where they view him at. McCluggage is a good player.
McCluggage is a
So you're not going to stop everyone, but I'm definitely wanting to stop Lachie Neil.
Okay. So on that, Geelong, Chris Scott faced the media a little bit early, so we're recording this Thursday afternoon. He faced the media around lunchtime. Spoke about that they will go in with the same 23, but they are open to O'Connor being part of the 22 and playing a role on Neil.
Just fine. I think that wouldn't be my number one choice, simply because he hasn't played the midfield all year, really.
No, he's been a defender.
And he's been pretty...
Hasn't been his greatest year.
Average as a defender. You're going to put him in a prelim and expect him to play in the midfield against the Brownlow medalist. I wouldn't... That's not something I'd be doing. I'd be looking to have a Blitzarves or a Guthrie or an Atkins or all three, whoever's there, just ensuring that at each stoppage they are very, very defensive on him. And then, okay, he's going to get a bit of the ball around the ground, but I wouldn't be going with Mark O'Connor. He's out of form, and you'd need somebody. The thing like a Guthrie or an Atkins or a Blitzarves, particularly maybe not Blitzarves, but Guthrie and Atkins, is they can still have an impact on the game. I think that they're smart enough to have an impact while tagging. O'Connor's likely to just be completely sacrificed, and I reckon Lachie Neil's probably got O'Connor covered in terms of just talent. So I reckon that's... let's hope they don't go with that, but who knows?
Jake Collegeasting will play.
Yeah, well, and he hasn't been everybody's favourite. He's been my favourite.
You're a
massive
fan.
I like the big Ukrainian. I think they need him. Absolutely.
So what are the matchups
this week?
So it is DeConing to Danaher.
Well, or Hipwood.
Yep.
Because they'll rotate. Because you remember against Richmond, Danaher had to come right up the ground to get a kick because they were struggling a bit. So
no connection.
One of them will do that, and it's probably likely to be Danaher again.
Yep.
So when he does that, you don't want DeConing standing at half forward.
So who's going with him?
Well, that's where you...
Henry?
Well, I don't know, Kingy. That's where you've got to have good communication. But I would have thought DeConing plays on a Hipwood or a Danaher, whoever's remaining closer to goal.
Yep. Buse to Cameron.
Yes. And you know, good luck. Cameron's probably likely to kick two or three. You just don't want him kicking five or six.
So he torched Geelong in that prelim for Adelaide in 2017 for five.
Yeah.
He torched Geelong in that game in 2019 at the Gabba for five.
Yep.
So he's got form against the Cats.
And they were getting good service. That's where Buse is going to be reliant on the service coming into him.
Game 150.
Yeah, great.
How's this though? So obviously the old man, the rat.
The rat attack.
So this was interesting. I did a bit of research. I like a bit of research. So
I did some research too last night.
Only five.
Should have seen where I owned it up.
Only five father sons have played 150 games combined for the Cats. Do you know who they are?
Five father sons.
Yep. This will be the fifth. This will be the fifth.
Let me guess. Ablett.
Yep.
150.
Yep.
Hawkins.
Yep.
Turner.
No, Leo played only about 130.
Right. Ablett, Hawkins, Buse.
Well, will be, yes.
So I got that one. Scarlett.
Yes. Gunner played about 180.
And
you won't get the other one. The other one was the Rankins.
Oh, I was just about to say the Rankins. Did you say the Rankins?
The Rankins.
I knew I got it. The Rankins and Buse. What do I win? Is there something coming there something coming down from the ceiling? Sale of the century style.
No.
What about Delveen Delaney? Is she coming down?
No, I was more of a Victoria Nichols fan.
I didn't really mind who they threw up. They were all.
Anyway, moving right along, Benny. Don't say anything that's going to get you into trouble.
Rockets.
But funnily enough, the Ablets are the only father son to. Yet. are the only father son to play 200 games for the club. So there's every chance Buse will get to 200, barring injury.
Of course he will.
Yeah.
Which and would he be was, and people were saying get rid of him.
Yeah.
I was stood up for him.
Didn't play a game for 2 years.
Yeah, and then he'd make mistakes early on, and bloody hell, everyone does, but he just gradually improved. We benchmark players against Joel Selwood and Chris Judd and Sam Walsh and Nick Dacos, and everyone's like that. No. And you've just got, oh, I've said this 100 times, you just have to see gradual improvement in players. And you used to see that with Busey. And I'll reference this bloke again. Jordan Murdoch was still making the same mistakes in game 100 as he was in game 4. How he got to 100 still absolutely baffles me. And no knock on him. Look, to get to 100 games, clearly he had some talent. But his game never evolved. He was still making the same mistakes all the time.
Busey's has evolved.
His game has evolved. He's become a really important player. He's a power player. He's good defensively. He can create.
He kicks
he's
it out.
He's strong.
He kicks it out on the full.
He does kick it out on the full. He can kick you a goal. But he's very effective, and he's always been very effective. It's just taken him some time to find his feet. And that's my argument in a different sort of way with Colajasny. Colajasny, yeah, okay, he makes the odd bungle with his kicking, but he is a certain sort of player that every team needs. And he's a one, I reckon, given the matchups, Danaher, Hipwood and McStay, we're going to have our work cut out there, and I think he's the one that probably goes to McStay. He's only three, McStay's 196. I just think if you're putting a Henry or a, you don't really want Stewart in that matchup. You know, but Guthrie's another one. I don't know you want him on the stage.
Does Zach Guthrie go to Link McCarthy?
Potentially. That's probably a good matchup. And I just think Colajasny is crucial on one of those taller players, whoever that may be at the certain time.
Oh, I think it's McStay for Colajasny.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
Yeah. It's...
Were you listening?
Yeah, I was listening, but that's what I was just giving my opinion.
You used to think about Rockets.
You're an idiot. Can I ask you some questions?
What?
Well, I'm not going to ask you questions, but people off the Big Footy Forum are going to ask you some questions.
Right.
Surely Parfitt comes back in. Stanley Holdy's spot with a rocket up him. No, Parfitt won't come back in.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, the thing we spoke about this too, Kingy, on K-Rock Footy, no doubt you need to listen in on tomorrow night to K-Rock Footy.
6 o'clock.
Yeah.
Brenton Sanderson is going to be part of the K-Rock team tomorrow night.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
He'll have the biggest biceps in the box.
I think he will have bigger biceps than the rest of the box combined.
Because they used to joke that he was the most well... I was about to say something else. The most well-built. Like the coffee man at the MCG.
Right.
Do you know what his name was?
No, we're moving on.
He was the most well-built player at the club, and that's when he was a coach.
Yeah.
He wasn't even a player.
Call to daddy says, I feel sick.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm confident, Kingy.
Yeah.
I'm confident. The only... If we, in the old vernacular, unless we shit the bed...
Yep.
And require an enormous sheet change. I think we win.
Do you realise if Geelong do shies in the bed tomorrow night, I will reference this. I say, Ben, time for the big sheet.
Well, I hope that doesn't happen, because I do think there was an element of not an enormous stain, but a little one when you have to go to say, Mum, look, just on the quiet, don't tell Dad.
Bit of stage fright.
There is a bit of a GT stripe on the left-hand side of my fart sack.
But, oh, we're moving. Yeah. I've got to move on.
Do you why?
From you. Right. You're an imbecile. Howler 41 with the Lions to come Friday night, hoping Colajasny's right. Tick is Howler 41. Danaher, Hipwood, and McStay. We need him, or he will be undersized down back. We won't be. I'm backing Big Reese. I think he'll channel the spirit of Brad Otten's prelim 07, and the big O will be on the blue bayou. Oh, Roy Orbison.
He's got the Otto as his coach. Yeah, look, let's put it this way, Kingy. He couldn't be as bad as he was against Collingwood.
No.
He had an absolute stinker.
Blitzen, take Neil and glove him OJ Simpson.
Yes,
style.
I'd be happy with that.
If we get enough entries, I'm confident our forward line can take care of Brisbane's defenders. Andrews will be worried about the big T-bone steak. Hawkins leaving Rowan and Darty Party to run free, which is Cameron. Start well, limit Neil. We find ourselves in the big dance. Please don't use the term big dance. It's a grand final. Also, great news that... Also, great news that Grant Tanner Bruin has supposedly chosen the Cats as his go-to.
So how and we're getting Henry too, Kingy. How are we doing all this?
I don't know. I'll get onto that in a moment. Sydney Malakalis noticed our pressure rating wasn't all that high in week one, despite the great win. Brisbane was massive in this aspect against Melbourne in the second half.
Turned
the game. What can we do to ratchet that up? Well, that's on the players.
I know they limited Melbourne after half time. One of the themes in a lot of the Brisbane games this year is they actually have been scored against quite heavily. I mean, Richmond kicked 104 against them. Melbourne should have kicked 6 goals in the first quarter, and then obviously they fell apart. But they have been easy to score against. I just think if Geelong are able to get their their ball movement going, their quicker ball movement. I think there's certainly some opportunities for them to hit the scoreboard, and I agree. I'd like to think Geelong's forward line is a little more balanced, although, you know, Hipwood's in really good form. McStay found form last week. Cameron is always dangerous. Link McCarthy can be dangerous. So there are weapons up forward for the Lions, but I just think Geelong... Brisbane can be scored against if you're prepared to be a little bit bold. Now, just I reckon Geelong need to start well, get the confidence going. I reckon that's the key. I just would hate to see them in the same position as they were against Collingwood when it was 3-0. I know they got over Collingwood and it was the biggest few of all time. I'm still not 100% sure how that happened because I think Collingwood were, you know, probably nearly the, I wouldn't say the better side, but that game could have gone either way. Yes. Geelong didn't deserve to win that.
No.
If Collingwood had a one, you wouldn't say Geelong were robbed.
No.
You were saying Collingwood outplayed them.
Yes.
So they just happened to have their nose in front when they blew the siren.
Yeah, and that's sometimes a good team.
Just that's right. That's why I think that's hopefully that's out of their system now. Yeah. The confidence rises from that. I'd love to see guys like Tui start well. Some of those guys who were good when the heat was on against Collingwood, just take that form in.
Yep. Daz Broncos lead is off at this point. Lots to talk about. Lost Hopper for dollars to the Tigers. Okay.
Yeah, look, I think that's a good thing, Kingy, and not a good thing that we didn't get Hopper, but a good thing that they're sort of able to stand by their philosophy, that we're not going to just pay guys. And this is
so, so the ones they've brought in the past, they've paid. They're on the big dollars. So
well, Dangerfield wasn't.
Yeah,
but Dangerfield got offered $400,000 a year more to go to Collingwood.
But Cameron... Obviously, you know, when you're bringing in a bloke who can kick goals like he does.
But I think he was prepared to take...
A little bit less.
And he was still very well paid because he's in terms of their pay bracket, he's a superstar.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're prepared to pay him, but he probably could have shopped himself around and got more somewhere else.
Yeah, but they want the lifestyle down here.
Well, they want to play in a successful team.
Yeah.
So they see that. And I think players around the league will see, okay, Geelong wasn't prepared to pay Hopper whatever they wanted to. Richmond have gone 7 years, taking him till he's 33. They're trying to do a Geelong. They're trying to win it while they've still got Riewoldt, Lynch in really good form, Grimes. They've got some other pieces like Bolter.
Yep. Bolton.
Bolton, Baker.
Yep.
While they've all got all those guys playing well,
yep,
and a couple of key pieces in the twilight, they just had no midfield.
Yep.
Their midfield was really poor. So they've gone and got Taranto and Hopper, hopefully getting Taranto and Hopper. But Geelong weren't prepared to pay him what he wanted. So I think that's a really good thing. And I reckon we'll look back on it, Kingy, and say, geez, I'm glad we got Tanner Bruin. Because if Geelong do land these two boys, you've got two first-round picks who have got 2 years. Bruin's got 30 games under his belt.
Yep.
I think Ollie Henry has about 20?
Yeah, 23, I think.
Mid-20s?
Bruin got 30 games up, has he?
Yeah.
Has he really?
Yeah, he's played 30. I'm pretty sure he's played 30 games. So you're getting two players who have served a mini-apprenticeship, probably still got a year or two of the apprenticeship to serve, but have shown enough that they are... I really like Ollie Henry. I think he can be a really, really, really good player. And he's there... Rowan's not going to be there forever. He's gone, you know, maybe in a year or two.
Well, next year's the last year of the deal.
And you've got Henry, who's got time to serve. You've got Stengel, you've got Myers. So I think... And close. And Henry's a different player to those blokes. He's that third...
He's the Rowan.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah,
but he's just got a great footy sense, and he's got a whole lot... Not a whole lot more, but he seems to have a lot more tricks than his brother, who is a very good player, but he's Jack Henry with a couple of layers added, and I reckon we're going to look back on and think, geez, this has been a really good period if Geelong can land those two boys.
Don't like this kind of distraction in finals, however, need to keep the external noise to the games at hand, but we can't stop it. Does the impending moisture play to our strengths a bit in terms of getting ball forward at all cost, and does it make the list of lines all over 198 centimetres a bit long because they're expecting rain?
Do you think it'll be moist?
Yeah, that's the prediction from the forecast from the Bureau of Meteorology.
Do you think the Cats like it moist?
They'll be the better team in the wet, Benny.
It's not a word that's used very often, is it?
No, there's a reason for that.
Why?
Damp?
Do you know one of the girls at work, right?
No, I'm not. No,
no, no. No, no, she said to me, she's a country girl, and it was raining. This is a while ago. And I said, oh, you know, it's a bit, I think I said it was a bit Milli Vanilli, and not thinking she won't know what I'm talking about. And she goes, yeah, you're right. And she goes, she added another layer to it, which I hadn't heard a young 20-year-old say. She goes, it's very damp.
You're right.
And she was talking about the weather, obviously. Yes. But oh, it was.
Or did she use the term, it's a bit fresh?
No, she didn't say it was fresh. She said damp. Yeah. But she was describing the precipitation, which is a real. You won't hear too many city slickers saying it's damp.
Damp, yep. Big night for us. Selwood equals Tucks untouchable 39 games in finals record. Amazing considering you increase the length of home and away season to get the total games played up. But getting 39 finals, that's a season and a half in finals, is a remarkable achievement. Well, it's actually nearly two seasons. 22 home and away games. He's going to get to 40, you would think. That's best part of 2 years. That's incredible. For Joel Selwood, every ninth game of his career is a final, basically. If he gets to 40, it'd be every ninth game.
That is outrageous.
It is.
Absolutely outrageous.
So every nine games, you're turning up for a final.
Buse what are going to do when he's gone?
I don't know. I don't bear to think. Buse with 150, great return from pick 77, father, sons.
Yes.
Or so that could not run far and had to build his tank over the years.
Yeah, that's true.
We have to be ready to make it count from the start, and that starts in the middle. Must be a good Stanley this week, and there's no tomorrow. Long stops, be clean, and be first. Take your chances.
Yeah, long stops for Mark Blitzarts. Mm. He was autumn leaves last week.
Who gets the sub spot? It'll be O'Connor, I think.
Well, you said he's in a tag.
Well, no, that's an option. I said that was an option on the table.
I don't like O'Connor being the sub because I don't think he has the versatility. It worked out for them.
Well, who's the next person who has the versatility? O'Connor can at least go into the midfield and play a role.
I suppose, but he's not a...
Parfitt doesn't do much other.
He's in the midfield. That's why he can't get a game at the moment because he can only play midfield. Yeah. That's his... Well, he's good at it, but that's why he can't get a game because he's only playing midfield. I don't know, my sort of idea, and look, people at the club will obviously know a lot better than I will. I just sort of have this vision of your sub being somebody who is a bit of a playmaker, who can, you know, maybe go into the wing who could be at half back or could be at half forward. And I know those players don't have 30 of them on your list, but just somebody who has a little bit of versatility and a little bit of playmaking, particularly, Kingy, because let's be honest, if a club wants to inject the sub, they're going to make an injury up. Hmm. They're not going to wait for... If they're thinking this bloke on the bench and they need a bit of run somewhere for the last 20 minutes of the game or for a quarter and a half or whatever it is, you're not going to do that without Connor.
So is that Dalhouse?
I would have thought that it was Parfitt, but... If he's not even in the 23, it's going to make it difficult. I would have thought Parfitt is the player who has some tricks, creative, but Geelong have enough pieces to shuffle around in defence or up forward. So, but anyway, look, who else would be an option? You couldn't make Colin Jasny the sub. That'd be a disaster. No. They did that one week and they had their pants pulled down against Hawthorn, wasn't it? It was a disaster.
Radicalea, I think, was in the squad a lot.
Oh, Radicalea's name would have been mentioned. He won't play, but his name would have been mentioned this week with the way Brisbane set up.
Defensively, to play him down back.
Yeah, and I'm not suggesting that they... But I'm sure at some point one of the coaches would have mentioned his name and thought, what about doing this?
How does it work? Yeah, but that thing's starting to become a little bit left field, and you don't want to be left field in a final. You want to be meat and potatoes.
Well, they were left field against Collingwood because they've started Henry up forward. Hadn't done it ever when Hawkins and Cameron were in the team. Only when they were out of the team.
Did he? Where was he in the Richmond game?
No, I don't think he started forward, did he? He started forward because Mark Neal nearly fell out of the box. And he said, Henry's up forward. And the only thing that sent him down back was because Collin Jasny got injured. So I don't know. That move didn't really work because they kicked the first three goals of the game.
Cat is 07. Question Kingy first, what's your tip for the GFL Grand Final? It'll be a great game. I think St Mary's will win that.
Yeah, mine would be very uneducated.
Yeah, St Mary's and Leopold. But also it should be a cracker.
Because they win it every year.
It should be. They actually don't win it every year.
They win it a bit, though. They're always in it.
They're thereabouts.
Yeah. How many of the last 8 years have they not been in the Grand Final?
They've been in every one since 2016.
So that's 6 years.
Well, we've had 2 years off.
Oh, well, that's true. Yep. Anyway, they're in it all the time, so I'll go with them.
Yep. I was confident earlier this week, nervous about tomorrow night, worried about leg speed of the Lions. I feel both sides line up each other pretty well. Where did Geelong find strength against the Lions?
As in, where do they need to find strength, yeah, or what's their strength?
What's their strength? I think it's the forward line. I think if there's enough ball movement, I think Geelong's forwards can get well on top of the Brisbane defence.
Harris Andrews hasn't had his best year. His form in the finals has been quite good, so he's finding a bit of form. He's a very good player. I don't think it's any one strength, Kingy. I don't think we're going to go, oh, the, you know, defence is better, the forward line is better, the midfield is better. I just think Geelong are more even. They're a slightly deeper team than Brisbane. Yep. So if they play to their capabilities with that evenness, I think that they've got too much for Brisbane to counter over four quarters.
How do you rate Mick McGowan's opinion on the game?
Yeah, I think he's a good student of the game.
Okay, so he did his player ratings 1 to 44.
Yes.
And the bottom five players, so from 40 to 44, were Brisbane players.
Right.
And so he basically, Lachie Neale was number one.
Who did he tip, the Cats?
I didn't see who he actually tipped. I just read why he ranked a certain player. Yeah, Tommy Atkins about number 14. You would have Tommy Atkins at about 37 this time
last year. He's not sexy, but he's very effective.
Yeah, and that's in finals. You don't need to be sexy. You just need to be effective.
That's correct.
Go Cats, and excited to see Sando in the experts chair tomorrow night. Yeah, we're looking forward to having Brenton Sanderson part of the K-Rock team for the first time in a while.
I think we could have a bicep off.
What is a bicep off? A bit of flexing going on.
I'm not sure. Can you hear his rockets involved?
Goodbye, Benny.
Righty, bye.
Kerr's Hire, local for 40 years.